We're back to the Neil Haley Show. We're back to the Neil Haley Show and the Media Giant Effect. I'm excited to welcome to the program, Jimmy Cicero. Jimmy, when did we wrestle each other? I was talking to a guy, just did a podcast interview about 15 minutes ago. And we're talking, I was talking about stories. You remember Punxsutawney, right? With it, when we were doing the Punxy stuff and all that. So I knew Jimmy from back in Steel City and all that stuff. And you were Cue Ball Carmichael and all these things. And Jimmy, you're still wrestling, man. So tell us, update us what's happening with you, your career. Like, let's kind of just, I want to jump really quickly back to, you know, when you were looking at almost getting signed and what happened in the 90s during the Attitude Era, to update fans and stuff and how you're still wrestling today. Kind of give us what happened there, Jimmy.
Okay, yeah, I in the 90s, I was doing a lot of enhancement work. Howard Finkel and Jim Cornette were booking me on a regular basis for the Northeast, me and Julio. Remember Julio Sanchez?
Yeah.
Okay. We'd go up there and we'd do a lot of work for the WWF anytime they were in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, anytime in the North. And it was going really well. I was starting to get a little bit of momentum and coming up with some ideas that I had. And one of the ideas that I had was a gimmick that I had called TQM, Total Quality Management, which was almost a takeoff on Tony Robbins.
Okay.
And good thing about that gimmick, I mean, it was really creative and it was out of the box. The unfortunate thing about that period of time is that I was doing a lot of wrestling in Maryland. And at the time, Stevie Richards was coming down and doing some work in Maryland. He was under contract at the time, but he wasn't being used. And he watched my gimmick. He kept watching it and kept telling me how much he liked it. And voila, Right to Censor appeared on television 2 weeks later.
Oh,
so,
man.
I got so many phone calls that night saying, Cicero, your gimmick's on TV. And I went, yep, sure is. Go figure. So that was heat for me because that was going to be the opportunity. That was the gimmick that I had been formulating for a long time. Okay. What I had to do was take a deep breath and keep on rolling because I love professional wrestling. I love teaching and I love doing it. Okay. So while that was a bitter point for me at the time, you know, here we are now. I'm 54 years old. I've been doing it for 32 years. And now I take my passion in helping the young guys learn how to do what I do. I teach them the same way that Ivan Koloff taught me. Right. Ivan always was. It's not like you see sometimes on some of these TV shows where like Tough Enough, I guess, where you got, you know, screaming and yelling and barking. Ivan was the opposite of that. He was really patient, very detail oriented. We could go over something as simple as a hip toss going into a short arm scissors, and we would go into something like that and work on it for 2 weeks straight because it was very important to not only understand how to control our bodies, but the most important thing, how to make sure we were being safe in the ring. And you know, our opponent, of course, is putting their body in my hands, right? So it's my job number one, to make sure that I take care of them. And that's what Ivan, you know, if nothing else, he drilled into us, you have to make sure that you are safe,
right,
and that you are taking care of your partner in the ring.
And that's important. Charlie Fulton trained me, and that's how I learned from Charlie. Is basically we got to work, and we're taking care of the other person, and learning from people that I was training with, Lou Marconi and Derek Stone, and you know, and Kenny Hendricks, and all those different guys. So that's where I got trained. You know, I got there, then I went and ended up jumping from there over after when Mick said you should go to Burt Prentice. That's when I went down south, then I came back and worked at PWX, and then, you know, you and I met at Norm's, where I had one of the best gimmicks that would get over, supermodel protege, having a 7-footer as a supermodel, and that gimmick with Drew Lazario was one of the best. And I'll tell you right now, we were more heat and more over than any gimmick, and they had to kill that off. And that was the seeing a 7-footer dancing in the ring. But see, this is what we did. We were creators. Well, we could work a match, you and I believe, meaning like any place, it doesn't matter. It's the first match, last match, because we believed in old school wrestling. We would get the crowd into it. We weren't doing these high flying moves or anything. We were telling a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Telling the story and something that the fans could grasp onto and understand and appreciate. Okay, we were entertaining the fans. They wanted to come, and they would see a little bit of everything. They'd see, you know, Reckless Youth and Don Montoya or Quackenbush, and those guys would be wrestling a mile a minute. Okay, and then they're seeing myself and Julio or Q-Ball and Tom Brandy as pompous, cocky jerks. But then they would see, like you said, where else are you going to see a 7-foot guy going out there dancing and being a model? Okay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Professional wrestling. All right, so that's the beauty that we brought to at the time Steel City Wrestling. I mean, I loved working for Norm back in those days.
Oh, it was fun, and then APWF was even more fun. I felt, you know, that was a pretty cool time because again, I worked in more of a gimmick, like I was working for a PWX as a big guy. But honestly, Norm creating Big Neil the Real Deal created the media giant today in the fact that he never gave me a character direction. I became who I was. I'm not this big, like this. I'm a media guy. And so when Aaron Lester said, dude, gave Stephon Devereaux, and he gave me the ability at Bethel, at PCTV Studios to be behind the scenes and be able to be a colorful person, intelligent, and talk, they didn't want big guys to talk like that. I made Kevin Nash look like a dope compared to how I talk on the mic. But see, I didn't get that opportunity till after. And then after that, I went to Germany and then I retired in 99. I did maybe 3 comebacks, but nothing. But I will have to wrestle you in a comeback in Alabama at one point in time. But I'm calling out celebrities and different people, you know, and I'm in Dallas, Texas, but I miss the business. When I walked away from the business, I think that was one of the hardest things, and I thought it was right. Maybe it saved my life, because look at Test and look at some of these guys, the big guys, that they died, right? And how lucky are you that you didn't, right? And you're okay at 54. Do you say that to these guys now? All these bumps and taking these crazy hardcore matches that could really kill you?
100%. There's a smart way to do things. You know, and there's also find what, you know, it's fine to get in there and wrestle and have your passion and everything else, but it's also important to have a level of reality. Okay. In other words, for me, what do? I work for the Department of Defense for missiles and space here in Huntsville at Redstone Arsenal. Oh. I make a good living. Okay. I take care of my family, my wife, my 2 kids. Okay. My adult son is living out there near Erie. But, you know, I have my 2 other boys, okay, one of which is severely autistic and nonverbal. He's 14 years old, right? That's my priority. My priority is my family, my job. And what else do I do? Well, I'm lucky enough to live, you know, 20 minutes away from the Rocket City Arena, where I can come and teach them twice a week and put on biweekly shows and still drag my old butt in the ring and try to stay young and wrestle. So, but again, everything's got a pecking order and everything's got, and that's what I also try to let these guys know is like, listen, you know, do not forsake things that are always going to be with you, like your family, to, you know, to go to Timbuktu and wrestle. Okay. Be smart about it. You know, trust me. I know. I used to drive to Timbuktu to wrestle. You know?
Me too. I would do the shots out to Wichita, Kansas, driving straight from Pittsburgh to Wichita to be the Sunflower heavyweight champion against Derek Stone.
That's right.
Yeah, I did those things. But Huntington, West Virginia, all those. But yet we're crazy. And we're kind of crazy in a stupid way, too.
Yeah.
Their shots, the head, all that stuff. Hopefully they're figuring out that's not a great idea anymore, even though I heard these young guys are bumping and killing themselves and AEW is doing the same darn thing again. Why? I mean, didn't they learn the mistakes from ECW, how they beat the heck out of each other? And these guys are almost crippled, some of them, you know?
W, right? How many of those guys, I mean, I was up there doing enhancement work as well. And how many of those guys that were there when I was there are now 6 feet under? You know, I mean, Balls Mahoney, Axel Rotten, New Jack, you know, I could go on, you know. And I know Candido wasn't through anything, I think, bad, right?
Right.
But I think that Jack, Axel, Balls, I mean, we're talking, you know, and others as well, right? Big Dick Dudley. I mean, it's a pattern, you know.
Pattern, and I talked about Test, who Andrew. I was on tour in Canada with with a bunch of people, with Rhino and all these guys. And man, it was terrible to see what happened to him. Thank God Rhino's alive, but these guys, and even you think about The Rock and you watch these things, are they, how long are they going to live? And I think that's where you're, in a way, you say, I'm doing this for fun, but I'm going to make sure I protect myself because of my family and all these different things. But these wrestlers are living like to the last life, and there's only a few that made money. And what happened to business? I mean, I was making a comment, you know, they're going to sell the WWE, and they had the number. They're going to give Vince $1 billion, but they're only going to give Triple H $4 million, $3 million to Stephanie and somebody else. So who was making the money? The owner. That's the end of the game, is that, you know, who would you rather be, a star on the Cowboys roster or be Jerry Jones? You know, this is the mindset we have to teach people, that I try to teach in certain ways. And now my persona has changed where, you know, I was a tutor, an educator, and really didn't want to talk about wrestling, to now talking about wrestling and adding the media giant component to my business. So I learned so much, helped brand people in the business of business and entrepreneurship and authors. But now I'm taking back, say, whoa, let's think about my brand now. But how much do we learn about that stuff that is such genius? You learn from, you know, all these people in the business, and how it's really life is the business. And the stories we tell in the ring are really stories in life, right?
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I agree. You know,
I think we did. But you got to be happy where you're at now and your ability to train and teach people. And how important is it? So tell us a little about Rocket City Wrestling. And I saw again Barry Koloff, which I'm cracking up, you know, because Barry and I in the Dog Pound, again, another organization before I went in as supermodel, I made it over more for Bubba. I had more heat than Bubba, right, Barry? I'm sure Barry agree with me.
Right. And like I said, I've been here 2 years. Barry's been my best friend since I've gotten to Alabama, right? Accepted me into the promotion and made me a part of the school as well as the promotion. And we take a great pride in the shows that we run. We're the only promotion in Alabama that has run bi-weekly, every 2 weeks for the last 7 years consistently. Now, granted, I've only been here for the last 2 years, but that's, think about that track record and the consistency that the fans have come to appreciate here. And we draw, okay? It's not like, it probably draws a good 250 maybe in this place, and it's always packed every 2 weeks, you know, and we put on, and again, it's the kind of shows that we were talking about. It's not, you know, we're not diving from the rafters and you know, taking outstanding risks or doing anything crazy like we were talking about. That's just not smart. And we're also doing it. There's a lot of kids in the audience, so we're making sure that we're patterning.
Family friendly. Doing. That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can call them. I mean, here, for whatever reason, I guess because I'm from Little Italy, okay? Jimmy Cicero from Little Italy. They call me Pizza Hut. That's the name that they have christened me. I'm a bad guy. I'm a heel. And, of course, when they say Pizza Hut, I get very mad and upset and everything else. Well, the kids love that, right? But how old is that concept? It's as old as time.
Why is it? So here's my question to you. I'm 50, you're 54. You and I could have a match right now that probably gets over any of the high flyers, and we wouldn't lock up for 5 minutes. What the heck's happened? Why can't that be that way?
Right. I mean, I'll get ready to tie up, and I'll stop and say, hey, make sure he's wiped off. He looks like he hasn't showered. And the fans get more. We're doing what's called working the crowd. Okay.
Why is that stopped? Why is that stopped in the business?
I think that what happens is they see there's an influence, and it's not to take away from these guys, but guys like the Young Bucks, things along that nature, where they're watching all of these high spots and they're becoming enamored with them. So the young guys want to come out there and say, hey, let's go ahead and hit this spot, this spot, this spot, and this spot. Meanwhile, if you watch the crowd when they do all that, it's like an oil painting.
What do you think? Who's controlling this in the business to not allow this? The law really what the fans that really want to be entertained. Why did we get rid of that?
No idea. But you know what? When you're in the ring, when I'm in the ring, we'll make sure that we continue to give them entertainment, professional wrestling, okay? And we're going to dictate. I want them to digest every nook and cranny of what we're going to give them, okay? So that when we finally do take that bump, it means something.
Right. So what? So I'm trying to break down why we have allowed a business to change so much, and yet the fans really don't even they sit on their hands.
I wish I could answer that. I don't know. It's unfortunately it's become. Look, I also liken it to what you see when you watch WWE right now. Okay, and again, I don't want to sound like Clint Eastwood saying "get off my lawn" and being the grumpy old man. But there was a time when you would hire Dusty Rhodes and Roddy Piper and Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair, and they would come in and they would be Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, okay, Roddy Piper. Nowadays, they bring people in and say, here you go. This is your new name. This is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to do. So literally, there's no creativity from the wrestler at all anymore.
Do you think Vince did that on purpose so he doesn't create another Rock or a Stone Cold? Or something where they become brands that they could go on their own and go somewhere else and make money?
Well, that's probably what they're trying to do. But I think in the WWE, they don't have an opportunity. And look, I don't blame them when they're there because they're making the money. And that I understand that at the end of the day, as a in that it's a business, you have to go where the paycheck is going to be. But as artists, okay. You know, in professional wrestling, I'm watching it and I'm going, boy, oh boy. There's a reason that I watch the old, 1982 Mid-South, 1981 Mid-Atlantic, old Georgia, the old territories. They had the TV show, The Tales of the Territories, that was on not too long ago. I love that because that was their talking about the days of the old, of gone by, the way it used to
so
be.
So you
run.
Think it could ever go back in a way? AEW is not, it's for the smart marks. I don't watch any wrestling. I'm not watching wrestling since I walked away in 99, to be honest with you. I watch all the wrestling documentaries. I love them. Young Rock, I've interviewed a lot of the stars from Young Rock. I'm such a huge fan of that. And it's like, man, why don't they go with the geniuses, the flair, the book, to come up with the ideas? Don't let writers that never been in a ring before talk about it. Or the guys that just did this deal and now they're going to run the deal. And then they're all saying because they allowed the smart marks to control the business. There's right, got to be right. There's got to be a revolution. There could be at one point. I don't know.
And you never say never. I mean, right now you're talking about the WWE being sold. Okay. So what happens if they say, hey, you know what? There's a facelift that's going to happen a couple of years from now. And now someone is going to take over that says, I think we need to give it an injection. We need to give it a shot of what used to make it work. And then you see a little bit more creativity. You see a little bit more, when they're letting the athletes and the talent be themselves. Like you were saying, when you were, the real deal, okay, and then you say, okay, well, now it's the media giant, and you're able to talk articulately, right? I mean, yeah. you're okay, and I did the same thing. When I started off, I had the worst fake Italian accent in the world, okay? And after a few shows, I went, I got to drop that. That sounds so bad, okay? I mean, I sound like, like a Boston guy doing a New York Italian accent. Right. It sounded horrible. Okay. And I realized that. But again, there's something about being able to be comfortable in your own skin and being able to go out and say, hey, you know what? This is who I am. You know, if you're going to cut a promo, if you're going to be a character, be that person. But it's got to reflect who you are. Right.
That's probably what made The Rock The Rock, is it reflected who he was. And if you look at Ric Flair was Ric Flair. There's no freaking difference. And look at him transforming himself. If I was going to draw money, I'd put Ric Flair on top somewhere at his age based on all the people who love him, and he would draw a house. Did you hear him rip apart his match? He was freaking 73 years old, almost died. What are we talking about? Why are we going to critique that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly. That's the point we don't get. Come on now. In movies, it's all fixed and making that these people like it really can't do it. They do 60,000 takes. So I don't know. I don't understand what happened to the business. I think honestly, Vince did it on purpose so that no one could replace what he'd done. Now you can create it. And then when he sells it, who knows? AEW. I don't know if there is a lot of wrestling, but there's no story. I don't watch it, but I just can tell. And the people who get over are the ones that can talk on the mic. That's the bottom line. And that's who made the money in the old days. The people who could talk on the mic.
Yes.
Bill Dundee,
Roddy.
Jerry the King Lawler, all these guys, they were unbelievable. And the match was just the story to end it, which was the fight. It
Yes.
wasn't where the draw was. It was the talking. And the attitude there was all about the mic. And I don't know.
What's going to make the fans, you know, invest emotionally? And that's going to be the promo. You're going to the promos, the interaction. And now the fans come to either love you or hate you. And if you can do it well enough, like you said, Lawler, Flair, Piper, Rhodes, any of those guys, then all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, Steamboat. I mean, who didn't feel sorry for Ricky Steamboat or Ricky Morton when they're getting beat down, right? They had that gift where you care about that person. And the moves are just kind of like fill in the blank. I mean, they're there, but they're not the most important thing by far, okay? By far. I mean,
and now it's the moves. But if I look at the guys that are the biggest in the AEW, it's their character still. Jericho's amazing, what he can do. The guy now is a short guy, looks like Jericho, but he can work the mic really well. And that's why he's getting pushed the way. I don't even know his name, but I see the little bites on Facebook. So I honestly think I was not talented, booked right. And look at this. You look at, you know, Dustin Rhodes, and where he was the big was Goldust. That's where his big character was, right? And it was work. So it's telling stories and all that. That's the big thing. So Rockets are, so if for people watching in Alabama, they could still become professional wrestler, right? And get trained by Jimmy Cicero, right?
Yes, they'll be trained by Barry Koloff owns it. Jimmy Cicero is the head instructor. We're in Hazel Green, Alabama. And all they need to do, if they want to look up the link on, it's on Facebook. It's also on the web, Rocket City Championship Wrestling.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to talk again. I already have an idea of different things, me coming back in the ring, but I want us, me and you, to team up and tag against two celebrities. We got to get two celebrities from Alabama in the ring with us at Rocket City Wrestling, and the media giant will make it happen. We'll team up. That's it, because we won't take any bumps. We'll beat the heck out of the guys and blow them up in the ring, and that's what we'll do.
I love it, Nick.
All right, cool. So, and definitely you can check out Rocket City Wrestling and anywhere. And I appreciate it, Jimmy. And thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Neil, brother. Great to talk to you.
You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. And we'll be back in just a moment.